If you know how many settings there are on a phaser, if you've paid more than $100 for a toy lightsaber, if you kind of thought that Farscape was cool, if you haven't played a sport since the day you got out of high school, then you've come to the right place.
Welcome to Pros and Cons, the podcast that examines fan conventions, the culture surrounding them, and the soundtrack to that culture. With your hosts, Jonah Knight and Mikey Mason.
I'm Jonah Knight.
And I'm Mikey Mason.
Welcome to episode 62 of Pros and Cons, a podcast about geek music, convention culture, and not NaNoWriMo this month.
We're through the NaNoWriMo mo.
Yeah.
We're through the mo.
Yeah, but
we've chased away the butt rats.
It was, yeah, and it's a fun. It was a fun time, though.
It was a good time. It gave us a purpose. I liked the sense of purpose that it gave us, actually.
Yeah, yeah, I liked being able to dig a little deeper and like to hit a topic from a lot of different angles. And looking forward to doing it again when, what is it, February Album Writing Month?
Yeah, February Album Writing Month.
Yeah.
We're considering, the plan is right now to do it again, maybe.
Yeah. yeah.
But are we going to be able to get a hold of some record company producers, or is it all going to be individual artists?
Oh, that would be interesting.
I don't know.
Maybe I'll be able to dig around and see what we can come up with. But if you are a musician, if you've been a past guest on this podcast and you're planning to do February Album Writing Month, let us know, because we're going to get a bunch of people back on, talk about 2014 and how that's going with them.
Or if you've participated in any similar project, say like the Funny Music Project, especially in the early days when there were fewer artists and you had to put out more music on a more regular basis,
yeah,
on an individual level, come on, talk to us.
Cool. Yeah, fun. Awesome. So it's been a month. It's been a month since we've just chatted about ourselves. So
it has.
It's been a little sad, but...
I couldn't indulge in my narcissistic tendencies.
Oh, indulge now. What are you up to?
I don't want to now.
Oh, okay.
Because you pushed me away touch me in the morning and just walk away.
Oh, it makes me happy to hear you say it.
You know what? I didn't do NaNoWriMo. That's what I didn't do.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about writing some stuff, but I've been thinking about the stuff that Mike Cole said. Boy, I'm saying that like it's one word.
So, yeah.
Right? Mike Cole just became the equivalent of Mick Jagger, because nobody says Mick Jagger. Everybody says Mick Jagger.
Mick Jagger.
Like he's a McNugget.
Yeah.
Right? And Mike Cole just became one word, Mike Cole.
Yeah.
But I was thinking about what Mike Cole was saying about cutting out, if you're going to write, or if you're going to do something, if you're going to dedicate yourself to something, you need to cut out the distractions. And it's not that I think that he's right. I know that he's right. But with me, it becomes a matter of limiting what I'm distracted by, not cutting them out, but because I'm not going to solely focus on one thing. And so obviously I'm not going to, if he was ever really bad at writing, cutting out all the distractions got him better quicker.
Yeah.
Than dilettanting his way around it like I would be doing.
Yeah.
So, but there are obligations, you know. I have promises to keep and miles to go.
Yeah.
Before I write a novel. And so.
Yeah, no, that's right. You know, I think that if you have a single art form that you're totally dedicated to, then you probably end up doing something like what Mike said, you know, like if it's all about indie film or writing or music or whatever, then that is probably all that you really want to do. And you've already sort of naturally cut away a lot of the things. But I don't know, the folks that have more of a more than one area of focus, it's probably a little trickier. You know.
Well, take there's a web artist, Lara D'Souza, who does Least I Could Do, and he, if you follow his Twitter, if you follow his Facebook, if he's not at a con, and sometimes even when he is at a con, he gets up in the morning and he starts drawing. Mm-hmm. He does a lot of the commission work.
Okay.
People commission him to do caricatures of them or draw specific pictures, and he does a lot of work like that. And he puts it on a Tumblr, and you should check it out because he's an incredible artist. But it's all he does all day. That's his. It's more than his work. It's his passion. It is genuinely his passion, and it shows because he's an incredible artist. He did the me and Alan Moore's beard print for the Barbarian Jetpack Kickstarter that I still haven't got everything out on, and I shouldn't have brought it up because now I'm depressed. Okay. And but he's incredible, and he just, you know, whenever I, you know, point out that he, you know, I don't draw as well as he does, he says, yeah, but I don't write songs like you do. So and, you know, fair point, fair point.
Yeah.
And if you get a chance to watch him, he does a live stream on Ustream, a video on Friday nights, where you can watch him draw. It's just captures of his screen. He plays music in the background. Sometimes it's mine. And he chats with people while he's drawing. It's amazing. It's great to watch.
That's cool. The focus there is pretty key. You know, if that's his thing, if that's anybody's thing, like, you know, I remember the story about Bob Dylan. My mom probably told me this, so who knows if it's true or not, that that his thing was every day he would wake up and write a song, and then he'd have breakfast. And so, like, you kind of believe that could be true because he's had how many box sets of just like the B-sides that he never did anything with. So
those aren't even B-sides.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Just, yeah. Tape deck, whatever. But, yeah, I think so. I think, you know, being able to get up and have that focus every day is pretty awesome. And it probably does really further your chances to just evolve as an artist and get attention. And hopefully if making a living at it is your goal, then that focus is probably key. You know.
Well, it's got to be. It's. I think the difference between learning a language by taking classes, and learning a language via immersion.
Yeah.
So if you're in high school or college and you take a language class, well, it's one out of several subjects. But if you are immersed in a foreign culture, that's your primary subject the whole time.
Yeah.
And you get a lot better a lot faster.
Yeah. Yep. I agree with that.
Are you immersing in anything lately?
Am I? Well, I was just immersed in a con. I kind of forgot that I was. I went to Darkover for the second time last weekend, over Thanksgiving, and my second year there, and that was an immersion. You know,
I don't, in geek culture, of course.
Yeah, yeah, that was. That was a nice. That's actually interesting. Just to talk about that for a second. That's their last year. That is the end of Darkover. Darkover.
Oh, yeah. That's sad.
Yeah, they. The lady who founded it, who was like the spearhead, the rallying point of that con, she died earlier this year, and they sort of felt like. And interestingly, this is sort of like the angle of it from a business perspective, it had not been set up as a nonprofit. It had been an LLC in her name. So they sort of finished it out. Like they did the last one and now they're changing it to ChessyCon. But they're bringing in, a bunch of the staff is turning over. There's going to be a new focus and that sort of thing. But,
so it's not going to be based on the Darkover series.
Right. Right.
Or at least, centered around the Darkover series,
yeah.
Founded on it anymore.
Yeah, and it really had moved on from that some time ago anyway, so the name was a holdover, you know, in a similar way that Farpoint was very much a Star Trek con, and then as they began to do much more new media stuff, the name was maybe less accurate than it had been, but, you know.
But it's branded at that point.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So that was, I don't know, that was, you said immersion, and that went, I went right to that.
So how was Darkover?
It was.
Sorry, how was the final
Darkover? It was, it felt like the final Dark Over. It was not, I guess I would say there was a certain energy to it. There was a taste of mourning in the air. There was not as much energy as there had been last year. I don't know. There was a sense that it was going to end. And even though it's going to be the same weekend, I believe, still mm-hmm. it's going to be, you know, a number of the same folks, like the steampunk track, which had been gaining steam. is still going to be there. And I think it's going to get more of an emphasis next year. But I don't know. It felt like everybody, accepted that this was the end of this chapter, you know, and whatever it evolves into, it felt like the end of it, you know, like they had, much like the way we want our TV shows to end, they were given some warning and they ended it in the way they wanted to, you know.
Right. It got wrapped up and there'll be a sequel, but it'll be different.
I feel like that was what happened. It was very strange. I'd never been to a con that had that sort of feel, but I don't know. It was mostly it was pretty low key, just being able to chat with people. I don't know. That was about it, really. And you know, we've talked before about it's a really weird weekend because most people aren't going to want to go to a con over Thanksgiving because they have other stuff to do. So. The people that are there are people that have been going to this for years and years and years, and I imagine that in the future that's going to be a good chunk of it as well. I think I mentioned this last time, but because there was such tradition with this con in particular being rooted in the Dark Over sort of, you know, world, attendance had been dropping, interest had been lagging. And then just like 2-3 years ago is when they, Amber came, you know, sort of pushed a heavy steampunk track into the con, and that mm-hmm. really re-energized it. And it started pulling a lot of local folks. So hopefully they'll be able to continue to evolve it and grow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many shows did you do?
Just one, which was actually kind of okay, but, it was, they wanted to bring back as many people that had performed there in the past. So there were a bunch of people. There was no polka band this year. There was one last year, and that was Milo's favorite thing. So since there was no polka band, he did not come with me. But just one time. It was actually a very light schedule for me. But it's nearby. It's only an hour from where I live, so it was fine. But what have you been up to?
Well, you know, I've been doing comedy, my regular comedy. I haven't done anything, geek oriented, I was supposed to do WindyCon and then I got sick and didn't do WindyCon and that was it.
Yeah.
I, did some solo adventures on the Beer Powered Time Machine.
Yeah.
Which is normally a casted group, and the last two or three episodes have been solo, outings. Slightly more introspective. One of them I put some outtakes on, which is just the Thanksgiving thing. I just did some outtakes. The others were more personal stories, that not the kind of funny man chuckle monkey stuff that normally appears on Beer Powered Time Machine.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting. And although I will probably continue to do that so long as there's not a full cast recording of any kind. I will do that until there is a cast recording and in between them, and I will try and get more cast recordings because I really enjoy them and I miss them when I'm not doing them. I put out that album, Dangerous Gifts.
Yeah.
That was at the end of October.
How has the reception been?
It's been wonderful. It's been fine. But since I haven't been to a con yet, the sales are different, and I'll tell you this, a Kickstarter is incredible advertising.
Oh, sure.
That's the best thing that it is. It's both advertising and exposure, because if somebody you respect is backing a Kickstarter and says, hey, check this out, I've also got his other stuff, and you back the Kickstarter. So I think if I do sorry, when I do another full-length album, or what, if I ever do another full-length album, I don't know that I will. Honestly, I read an article about how the album is dead as a medium from a record industry standpoint, and I can totally see that. Although, from a Kickstarter standpoint, that's not true.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I've been touting forever that I'm going to follow the Motown model and just put out singles. I don't know. I'm working on something right now. That's just a little, I want to get it out quick, and it's some stuff.
Yeah.
I won't say what, but it's some stuff.
Yeah.
Some stuff that's out of character for me. I'll say that. It's stuff that is out of character for Mikey, so.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. I think we've talked about the singles before and the Motown model. And I think in a couple of weeks we're going to have John Anelio on, and he's gone to that model. He went there a while ago. So that'll likely come up in our conversation with him, because he's done that. I think he's had some pretty good success just doing singles.
Well, and I can see that. Look, for an independent artist, it's better. I don't know if it's better. It's not as wasteful to do an album length material.
Yeah.
But for a big artist who is backed by a record company and they put out all of this money, and really all they're going to do is promote two or three singles from the album at best. When was the last, the albums that stand the test of time are the ones that put out a bunch of singles. I'm thinking the album that put out the most number one singles of any other, I think, is probably Def Leppard Hysteria.
Oh, was it?
And that's strange, isn't it? But they kept putting out, like, every other song on that, more than every other song, is a single. They would go to the radio and stay in the number one on the charts for. So it was in the charts for well over 2 years, like high in the charts, because they'd keep putting out another single, and they stayed on the Hysteria tour for. Well, I'm not particularly a Def Leppard fan, but there's a level of respect you have to have for a group who can come up with that much hit material on one friggin' album, man.
Yeah.
You know, and even, you know, pick a group, any group, you know, Kiss never had number one singles. They never did. And that's, you know, kind of my band or whatever. But any, pick Lady Gaga. She had she had number one hit songs, right? And you may like Lady Gaga and you may love all of her songs or whatever, but you have to admit, if you're listening to her album, there's more stuff there that's not number one material than there is that is, you know?
Right.
So
yeah, I don't know. It's interesting because we haven't talked about this for a while, but with the first couple albums of part of my perspective was to have songs on there that I wouldn't play live. You know, the songs that were sort of the I don't know. I wouldn't think of them as filler, but but songs that I wanted to record them and put them there, but that I didn't want to have to reinterpret, and that I wouldn't necessarily think of them as singles, but they would sort of fill a space in the world of that album, you know?
Sure, and, I can see that. But again, you don't call them filler, but people who, casual music listeners,
yeah,
would call them filler.
Yeah.
You know, I listen to my own stuff every now and then. You know, I'll give each album a listen every couple months or so, and just to hear it. And, you know, the songs, there are songs that are filler. I don't want them to be filler. It doesn't mean I don't like them. But when it comes, you know, they just never caught on.
Yeah.
If it doesn't catch on, it's, you know.
I think, you know, part of that for me is that there have been songs that I've written. And I like the way the song is, you know, the lyrics or the music or whatever, and I will record it and release it before I've really field tested it. And yeah. And if I haven't, and like some of the, so like Haunted by You is one that just I never found a way to really perform that song and maintain sort of like a moment, you know, for the audience. So I just stopped doing it. How Shannon Hoon Died was one. And King of Nebraska was one until, because I kept trying to perform it similar to the way it is on Exploration of Dangerous Places, and it just never worked, and I stopped playing it for a long time. And something happened, and it came back the way it is now. But that's rare. Like, that doesn't happen to me very much. And I there's some.
You know
things,
what happened?
Yeah.
You know what happened? You met me.
Huh. Maybe. I mean,
some of my pop whoredom rubbed off on you.
Yeah, I mean, and that's quite possible. I mean, it's you know, that the
you
influences
are different.
You got
your pop whore in my artistic integrity. You got your artistic integrity in my pop whore.
Yeah, you know,
two great tastes that taste great together.
I don't think, like, there was no artistic integrity in that first version. That was just, you know.
Oh, come on. That was a fun version.
Oh, it's fun, but it's not like, it's not, this is a great, meaningful song. It was just a fun little bleeps and bloops, you know?
Yeah. I enjoyed listening to it, but I only listened to it the once. It was very interesting to listen to, but I, you know, what caught me was the version that you'd played, the second, the acoustic version, the bonus track version from
Steam.
Age of Steam. And you played that live, and that captured me, man. And so I went back and I listened to it, and it was interesting to listen to, and I had fun listening to it, but it wasn't an experience that I would necessarily repeat often.
Yeah, I think that the way I'd sort of think of it is that if you're putting together playlists, that original version doesn't go on the Jonah Knight playlist. It goes on, like, the weird
chiptunes playlist.
Yeah, it goes somewhere else. It doesn't fit in with the rest, and that's fine, you know, whatever. That's and that was the goal. I wasn't making a move to become a chiptune artist, you know.
But you were playing, you were exploring, and that's cool.
Yeah, and I think, you know, there are a couple of songs on the South Dakota album that I definitely don't think they're more ethereal.
Can I tell you something without making you mad?
Yeah. Maybe.
Well, I won't. Go ahead. They're more ethereal.
No. Well, that the one Hold On to No One is a song on there. And that was...
Did you send that to me?
Yeah, it's just it's like four voices sort of coming in and out.
Oh, okay, yeah,
and all that. There's not much more to it than that. And it's a short thing, and the lyrics are not complex. It just sort of is a little bit of a loop, and it's almost like a cut from a film score or something. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that it's ever going to be, you know, the one that everybody gravitates to. But it'll hopefully be sort of like, to pull a pro wrestling analogy, it's sort of like it's a palate cleanser. It's after the big energetic match at an hour into the show, you have to have the comedy match to calm everybody down before you build the emotion again for the next main event, you know?
Yeah, because you can't just max it out.
Yeah, and I think that if I was just releasing singles, that song... I would have never had a reason to finish that song, and I would never probably release it. And that's, you know, whether and if the goal is get the hits as a listener, then, you know, that is not going to be your favorite song. But it'll be like kind of the thing where it's like in the middle of this sort of exploration of geography and people, there's this interesting little lull that could sort of like dip you down before you come back up with the next song, you know?
Yes. I get it.
Yeah.
I think you're dead on with the term palate cleanser. But that doesn't mean that they're not interesting or cool or fun.
Yeah. They're just not going to... I'm not going to sell any download singles of that one.
They're filler.
Yeah. They're... I don't know.
That was a dick move. I'm
sorry. No. I mean, I think of filler as... You know, it's interesting. When I think of filler, I think about the Posies. You remember those guys? What they have? Their single in the 90s was the flavor of the month is something melting in your mouth.
Nope.
I listen to a lot of that. And Better Than Ezra's first album was like this too. They had like one song, and then everything else was really slow and dumb and didn't work at all. And
was just there to fill an album.
I guess. I mean, and when I think of filler, you know, the reason why people are really happy that they can just buy a single now instead of the album, I think of Better Than Ezra and the Posies, because there was like one good song on both of those. And the rest, the rest was just filler. Like, look, it didn't even feel like there was anything behind it.
Yeah, but
like,
by that reckoning, whatever the album was with Creep on it by Radiohead was all filler except for Creep, because that was the only song in that vein. And I don't know the apocrypha behind the song. I think that he did the song to piss off the sound guy. I'm not sure. But they, for some reason, this is what I do know, is that according to legend, Radiohead hates the song Creep.
Right, yeah.
Or hated. And it's the least Radiohead song of theirs, and it's the one song of theirs that I like.
Yeah.
So, and that's not to denigrate Radiohead, it's just they're not to my taste, so maybe I'm a tasteless jerk.
No. They go out of their way to do weird stuff and challenge people, you know.
Right. Okay. Well, Creep was actually kind of challenging. As far as a pop song goes, Creep was pretty challenging.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, it didn't match their other vibe.
Yeah.
So what I was going to tell you that might piss you off.
Yeah, tell me.
Well, I do trivia on Tuesday nights at the Fickle Peach, which is probably going to stop. We're going on hiatus toward the end of the month, and I don't know if or when it will come back. But I play music while I'm there, and so I had the South Dakota album files on my phone, and so I played them during a round.
Oh, yeah?
And, you know, most of the time nobody says anything about the music, but the bartender, Craig, came up to me and said, "Who is that you were playing? I dig his voice."
Oh.
Wait. So I just wanted you to know that I released your stuff before it was ready on an unsuspecting bar crowd who was trying to do trivia, so that they really didn't think about it. Except the bartender, who wasn't playing the trivia, sat there and listened to the songs and liked it. There you go.
He
said he liked your voice.
He
wanted to
voice.
Know who it
That's
was.
Interesting.
And he said he liked your voice.
Because those are still the acid reflux damaged vocals, right?
some of them are. You said you re-recorded some of them, but yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But that's, I think, cool. that acid reflux that you, I don't, have we talked about it on the air? I don't know that we've talked about it on the air. I know you and I have talked about it a bit. But anyway, I think that having that disadvantage caused you to adjust your range and play to a certain strength, a certain register and tone that works.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah.
And it doesn't mean, I think honestly, some of it you could redo and replicate the tone, but have a smoother voice.
Yeah.
But I think the tone works. Mm. Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. I gotta finish that thing.
You gotta finish that thing.
Yeah. Because I can't do the next thing until I do that thing. So
and people listening, the three people who are listening should know that not only have I been listening to that, but I've been listening to the Big Damn Heroes newest release. And I'll make a small announcement about that in a minute.
Right.
But you and I are kind of not really collaborating, but working together on one of your tracks.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
There's a little bit of collaboration, but it's more of just, I'm doing studio musician producing type stuff.
Yeah. And I love that. I like what you've done with the song Papers, and I think it's going to be pretty cool. I think it'll come out really nicely.
I think I got my pop whore and your artistic integrity again.
But you know what's interesting about that is, so the album is the album is mostly acoustic stuff. You know, well, it's all acoustic stuff. But then, the song that you're playing with, that you're doing some studio stuff with, is going to be a full rock song. So it's almost going to be like the King of Nebraska of this album. It's going to be all not necessarily all mellow, but all sort of quieter, contained songs, and then one big rock distorted guitar drum song. So
I may change the distorted guitar some more. But I'll tell you this, and I don't think you can honestly deny it. When I heard that song, I could hear that you had a band in your head.
Yeah, yeah.
That was never intended to be a solo singer-songwriter song. That was made to be performed with a band.
Yeah, yeah. And there are a handful of songs there that I wrote when I was back in college, when I was sort of in and out of bands a lot more often, and was sort of constructed in a way, assuming that I would have a band at some point. But, you know, never recorded them. So I'm like, well, got to record them sometime, because they're not that bad. Some of them are pretty good, so... Yeah.
Oh, so Big Damn Heroes and me, Lindbergh's Bar and Grill, Springfield, Missouri. Is it Friday the 13th? Is it really Friday, December 13th? Let me check my calendar.
Yeah, Friday the 13th.
Friday, December 13th, Big Damn Heroes. Their EP is coming out. That'll be the official CD release party for Dangerous Gifts, because I will get the CDs for Dangerous Gifts by then.
Cool.
And it's going to be a rocking good time that night. I think it's a $5 cover. If you are near Springfield, Missouri, you're talking about a night of awesome sauce, because there I'm going to perform a set of whatever I want. And the, and it's going to be geek rock comedy solo guy. And then they're going to get up and they're going to do their set. And then I'm going to get up and do a set with them of my stuff.
Awesome.
And it, I may have the order. I may have it out of order. They may get up. It may be them, then me, then us. Or it may be me and then them, then us. But at the end of it, they've been rehearsing some Mikey Mason songs. I gave them a list of like 5 songs to perform live with guys who are just, they're phenomenal musicians. So I'm excited, man. And Lindbergh's has some good beer too. So it's going to be it's a beer hall with a wonderful stage. And it was built in like the 20s or 30s. So it's got the tin ceilings and it's one of those long thin bars. And it's, man, it's beautiful. It's gorgeous.
Cool.
It's antique.
That's awesome. Hopefully you get some recording with these guys at some point. I'd like to hear that. Even hopefully. If it's just the live stuff or whatever.
Yeah, that would be, maybe we'll just try a soundboard recording.
Yeah, cool.
Live at Lindbergh's. So we're doing something with the podcast.
We are. Skype just did some changes, and the software that we had been using to record guests with no longer works with Skype. And so we're going to have to buy some new stuff, and we've been talking about it, and we thought maybe we would try some kind of fun fundraiser. Is a fundraiser fun? I think it can be.
It can. We'll put the fun in fundraiser.
Yeah. So
we're going to stave off their planned obsolescence.
Yeah. Yeah. We didn't want to just say, you know, hey, give us money for nothing, even though, no. You know, but so we're going to give you something back.
But so if you want to help us out, help us get the it's a nominal amount. It really is, I think.
Yeah.
It's not going to be more than what, 50 or 60 bucks?
It's not. And if there's extra money, it'll go to the hosting costs.
Right. Web hosting costs, which are costs. They are.
They are.
Every month.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or
a
year if you do it annually.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you have to pay for the storage and you have to pay for the hosting services. Yeah. So what are we going to do? We're going to sing for our supper?
Yeah. So
would that be it?
So anybody can go and just like donate a buck if you want to over on the blog, prosandconspodcast.blogspot.com. In the show notes for episode 62, there will be a link there. So you can just...
Is that via PayPal?
Yeah. Yep. It'll be via PayPal. But
mark it as a gift?
Yes. Though, if you donate $25, you can request us or one of us to record a cover of the song of your choice. So we'll probably just go back and forth. So like one of us will take the first one, the second one will take the second one, that sort
unless
of thing.
Unless you just have one of us that you particularly want to do something.
Yeah.
Any song.
Yeah.
You know what? You do $10 and I will record you a video of me playing any of mine or Jonah's songs.
Yeah. Yeah,
and hopefully Jonah will match that. If you want to pop in $10 and get a video of him recording any of his or my songs,
yeah,
you know, dedicated to you, specially to you, then we'll send you a link to the video. But if you want to donate $25 and you want us to, you know, one of us to record a song that, you know, we're not going to pay royalties or licensing fees. It's not going to be, it's a gift and it's like homemade cookies. We're going to use somebody else's recipe, but you got to eat it at home. Don't share it. Don't sell it. You know, we're just doing it for fun.
Yeah.
Basically.
You know, every once in a while I'll do a show and someone will mention afterwards that I should, you know, what you should really do is a cover of this one.
Right.
And I often just, they're like, yeah, that would be cool. And then I don't do it for whatever reason. But this is your chance to make me actually do it, to make Mikey do it. So
make us dance like puppets on your string.
Yeah. Yeah. And hopefully, I know that because we've been using some free software, we've not always had the best quality of audio with some of those guest recordings. And hopefully, by actually paying for something of a good quality, hopefully
we won't be able to increase. We will not be able to improve the quality of our guests' microphones or internet service.
Yeah,
but hopefully we can record the improve the quality of our recording of their internet service microphone quality audio.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool. Hopefully that'll work. No promises because we don't know, but but hopefully that'll happen. So if you like the show. $25 gets you a copy of one of us doing a song of your choice.
Any song.
Yeah.
$10, I'll do one of mine or his.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you want me to do, I don't know, let's pick a Jonah song. If you want me to sing one, if you want me to sing a rousing rendition of Once Around the Sun, or Jonah's version of Where the Old Folks Roam, which is Suwannee River, right?
Yeah.
Or Jonah's, if you want me to sing along to the chiptune version of King of Nebraska.
Yeah.
If you want to hear Jonah sing Muppet Baby, wait, no, maybe not Muppet Babies.
No, I'll do that. I'll totally do that. Yeah, no, anything. Any, go for the deep cuts. Go for the stuff that's not singles. Get us to do filler.
No. Make him a pop whore. Make Jonah do Scooby Thulu. That's total Jonah song. Jonah should totally do Scooby. And it's like 7 minutes long, so it makes him work for it.
Oh, come on, people. Come on.
Make him sweat. Make him fear the butt rats.
Oh.
And if you don't get that reference, you need to listen to the last episode. That was funny. Are we going to have butt rats t-shirts, Jonah?
Well, there may be some art coming. I don't know if there'll be t-shirts, but there'll be something.
I think there need to be t-shirts.
Oh my goodness.
Fear the, what is it? What is it? It's a beware the butt rats. I think we can work this out. I think I have an idea. We'll talk after.
Yeah.
We'll talk after while we're cuddling.
Okay. So aside from next Friday, your big CD release show, what else you got coming up? You got December stuff?
I don't have a whole lot of December stuff. I've got a show in Marietta, Ohio, which is regular comedy. I'm at Snickers Comedy Club December 26th, 27th, 28th. I bizarrely don't have a New Year's Eve show for a comedian. That's our big money night, but I just haven't booked a show that night. So after that, January 3rd and 4th, Goonies in Rochester, Minnesota, January 10th and 11th is at a private event. And then the next week after that, I will be on Wednesday, I will be at Froggy's in Virginia Beach, Virginia. It's Thursday. Thursday at Froggy's in Virginia Beach, Virginia. And then Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at MarsCon in Williamsburg, Virginia.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah, I've got this weekend, I'm doing a house concert in Virginia. And then, what have I got? There's a local place. I miss Christmas carols. So the couple of shows I have this month are sort of Christmas based.
Yeah.
And whenever I would do one of these, like, I don't know, like a busking sort of thing or like a farmer's market sort of thing, I like the vibe of being able to just play songs as background and then surprise people and get them to stop and listen when they weren't expecting it.
Yeah.
I love that feel, but I'm only doing one of those shows. I usually do a bunch of those things just because I, you know, the last couple of years I've been doing a lot of weird Christmas stuff. But I've got one of those on the 14th in downtown Frederick. And then a friend of mine who books a lot of, like, coffee shops and things got me on. I'm one of like 20 people playing short, weird Christmas songs at a coffee shop locally. So I don't know. Even if I'm just gonna play three songs, I like getting out there and playing Santa Claus is Coming and the Krampus and Bacon and Beer. Yeah, yeah. And then a private event in Virginia and MarsCon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll be doing the private event together.
Oh, yeah. In
privately.
Yes. Yeah. And yeah, we should work on that, too. I should. Right, because, well.
We should do something special. Yeah, what do you think?
Yeah, I think
something
we should.
Special.
Yeah.
Maybe. Anyway.
Yeah. I don't know.
So, yes, it's a busy season. Though maybe not as busy as we'd like.
But, yeah. No, it'll be full of stuff. And tomorrow we get a new couch. So I have to get a new couch. So
that's kind of scary.
Well, sometimes people stop by and we don't really have a good sleeper sofa. So we did that in case anyone happens to be driving through and needs a place to sleep.
Well, I understand that. But, I mean, you know, getting a new couch. It's what if you don't like it?
I sat on it.
Well, that's fine and all, but, you know, that's one sit.
Yeah.
Have you napped on it?
No.
That's how you learn whether or not you like a couch.
Yeah, I suppose.
Anyway, yeah. I'm planning next year right now, and I know that you are in the planning stages of next year as well. So if there are conventions that people want to see us at, let us know. I'm Mikey at Mikey Mason. I can't say my own friggin' website. Mikey at MikeyMason.com. Send me an email. I'm not afraid. I want to try and play a convention near you or house concerts because I have yet to do a house concert. Mm. Done a few comic book concerts, but or comic book shop concerts, but not a house concert. So I'm issuing this as a challenge. Get me into your living room.
Mm. Yeah.
And then the challenge is to get me out of your living room. Because I don't live there.
Depends on the quality of the sofa.
Yeah, yeah. Have a bad couch, I'll get the hell out.
Yeah, yeah. And, I, you know, same thing. And hey, truly ambitious folks that host house concerts might want to think about a double bill. You know, that would be pretty fun.
You're a diabolical genius. All right. We've been going long. It's about time to wrap this up.
Yeah. So, you know, iTunes, right?
iTunes. Yeah. Look for Beware the Butt Rat shirts. We'll make an announcement probably by next week. Hit us up on iTunes. Rate us. Lie if you have to. Give us really high ratings. You know, fake it if you gotta. We're good. We're okay with that. We're both married. We're used to that. And that was wrong. That was mean. That's all right. My wife doesn't listen to the podcast anymore. So, and I don't know if yours does.
Yeah,
so
she does. She does.
Oh.
Hello.
Yeah. So, all right. Sorry, Lisa. But no, I'm not. Anyway, rate us on iTunes and make sure you join us next week. And until then, I am Mikey Mason.
And I am Jonah Knight.
And thank you sincerely for listening.
Show notes for this episode will be up on the blog, prosandconspodcast.blogspot.com. Write us an email, prosandconspodcast@gmail.com. We have a pretty cool Facebook group. Just go to Facebook and search for Pros and Cons Podcast. Join the group. Say something interesting. Our theme song is an excerpt from Welcome to the Con by Ookla the Mock. Check those guys out at ooklathemock.com. Pros and Cons is covered under a Creative Commons Attribution No Derivatives license. This means that you should feel free to give it to everybody that you know, but don't sell it to them because it's not yours. You don't own it. Everybody owns it. Nobody can sell it. Welcome to the Con. Dorsai, furry elves, get down with your nerdy selves.